Tonight. Come on, bless him, bless him, bless him. Bless him today. Bless him today. Certainly we thank God. For God, he is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. He has blessed us with a wonderful group of young people who's courageous, committed to stand and represent the Lord in this present age. Thank God for all that has transpired today. This is Youth Day. Let me say to our young people, Happy Youth Day. We thank God for your involvement, your investment in the worship experience. And we pray that God's hand would be upon you to bless you, and that you will be light and salt in the world, making a difference, making an impact, that your living be not in vain. Certainly we thank God for our junior deacons, senior deacons, trustees who have devoted us. Thank God for preachers, the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Walker, Reverend Redwine, and Reverend Van. Thank God for youth director, the person of Sister Evans. Thank God for your investment. Thank God for your commitment, your leadership. We've had a wonderful weekend experience with our young people. I had youth night, game night on Friday night, and they had what they call that thing, video trip. What y'all, game trip? Amen. And they enjoyed that thoroughly. And certainly to Reverend McCoy, assistant director, and to Sister Maddox, puppet ministry and sign ministry leader, all of the persons who work with our young people to make sure they receive Christ and receive his word to grow up to be healthy Christians. And we thank God for you, Sister Taylor, Sister Rogers, Lady Rogers, for the liturgical dance, and those, Sister Nicole, and what's the sister name that came and got the flag? Where's she? Amen. Where's she? All right. Thank you, amen, for your time spent in helping our young people. Thank God for all of you here today. Listen, I want to make an announcement before I preach. Brother Greg Long is here, and he's done a wonderful job with our young people. And there's an initiative going to help our young people in school. It's a back-to-school supply drive. And I want to ask of you to sow a seed of $5 into that initiative to help our children. We have some low income, and we have those who are scuffling to compete. You know, and we want to help them get a wholesome and healthy education. We want to help them scholastically. So, Brother Greg Long, stand, brother. Let him see you. Amen. He is over that drive. And along with that, the day of the supply distribution, they will have the vaccine available for those who desire to take the vaccine. Now, I haven't said much about the vaccine, but I'm going to say something today. I want to ask you to get the shot if you have not already. It protects you, and it protects people you love. I said a while ago that the COVID is like a dog with teeth. It still bites. And there are different strands or variants of the COVID that's surfacing. I was watching the news, and it said that Alabama is the least vaccinated. It was Mississippi, but I went over there and told them folk Amen. So if you have not already, make sure you get vaccinated. I know there are opinions, and I'm not trying to be dogmatic or emphatic to push my way over on you. But there's a lot of things you don't know about. You don't know what's in that food you eat when they cook it in the kitchen. But when they bring it out hot, you eat it. You don't know what's in the vaccines that you have taken already. God convicted me. I went to Africa, and I had to take a lot of vaccines and stuff like that, yellow fever and all that. I said, well, Lord, I don't know about what's in that. And I did. I took all of those shots and took all of the pills and all that to get to Africa. And the Lord said, you won't take the vaccine in America, and you took all them shots to go to Africa to preach the word of God. And it convicted my heart, and I gave my arm to the needle. Listen, if they want to track you, they'll track you through your cell phone. Did y'all hear that? There's a tracking device on your cell phone, and you got that cell phone in your hand. Everywhere you go, they tracking you. They can tell your whereabouts and all of that. So they don't have to put, you know, that's a small little something if they can put it in that needle and insert it in your arm. Listen, the mark of the beast is not yet, because that's in the great tribulation. So if you do your study in Revelation, you're not receiving the mark of the beast, because by that time the church would be raptured. We still here. So I thought I would share that and beg you to get that vaccine, so it was made available that day of the supply distribution. And please sow seed $5. Mark it back to school drive. Okay? And if the Lord lays more than that on your heart, do what the Lord lays on your heart to do. But I want to ask you for a minimum offering of $5 to help our children. Listen, I want all of our young people to stand. Amen. We have a lot in the balcony. Y'all just stand. Let them see you. We have some in the congregation. Come on. Amen. Come on. We can do better than that. Amen. 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 Thank you, parents, for allowing your children to serve. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I want to preach to our young people today. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I want to read two verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. That's verse 1 and verse 13. Because I think it sandwiches chapter 12. It's the gist. It's what Solomon's purpose of writing is. Matter of fact, when you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, it really doesn't begin in chapter 12, what he's saying. It began in chapter 11. But I want to read verse 1 and verse 13. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Verse 13. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Look at somebody and say, remember and reverence the Lord. I want to talk about the blessings or the blessedness of youthfulness. The blessedness of youthfulness. Solomon, the son of David, wrote Ecclesiastes as lessons to glean from his own experiences. He warns young people against wasting time, especially the earlier or young days of their life. Don't waste time on foolish things of the world. Don't waste your life running after things that really don't satisfy. Every aspect of your life is to be respected and properly invested in knowing God. You are not too young to know God, to serve God. I would that y'all help me preach to the young people by saying to them, you're not too young to know God and to serve God. It is Solomon in verse 1 of chapter 12 who says, remember your creator. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. But he says, remember your creator. God is the creator. God is responsible for creating heaven and earth and all living things upon the face of the earth. It is Genesis, Moses in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 who said, in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. It is the anonymous writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. God is creator, and creator is the first name God reveals to us about himself in Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. God is not a creator. He is the creator. He is creator because through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. God brought all things out of nothing. He is the only one who stepped out on nothing and brought out of nothing something and called it earth and gave earth the ability to sustain life. It is God who is creator. We preach and teach creation according to the biblical account. We preach God as creator. You were created by God. You did not evolve from a monkey. You were created by God. You don't look like a monkey. You don't talk like a monkey. You don't act like a monkey. You don't sound like a monkey. Your body, your soul came from him. He gave you your eyes. He gave you your ears, your tongue, your hands and your feet. God created you. I need to say that because so many of our young people are under pressure. They are not satisfied in whom God has created them to be. Low self-esteem. They are discouraged. They are depressed. Because the world places before them and promotes before them a certain image that they have to be somebody and to look good and to sound good. But listen, God created you the way he wanted you to be. He created you, and listen, you are created by God to be who you are, to look like you look, to sound like you look, sound like you sound. And listen, you got it going on because God created you. It is the psalmist in Psalm 100 verse 3 who says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has created us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. master. David said in Psalm 139 verse 14, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know the full well. Listen, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. You are not an accident. You are divinely providence made by God. So he made you fearfully and wonderfully. Your works, his works are wonderful. Listen, when you stand in the mirror, know that you are wonderful. I don't care what people tell you. I don't care what you see on television. I don't care what you hear at school or here in the neighborhood. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says, remember your creator. You created. He says, remember your creator. Remember God. And he says, remember God. Remember the Lord. Number one. In the days of your youth. Verse 1, remember the Lord, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. The New Living Translation says, don't let the excitement of your youth cause you to forget your Creator. Honor him in your youth before you grow old and say, life is not pleasant anymore. So Solomon in verse 1 urges young people to remember the Lord. Remember, the Lord is not for the elderly only. He says, while you're young, while you are spruce and spry, while you got strength, he says, in the days of your youth. Youth signifies a young child. It also denotes a young man who is of marital age but still a bachelor. In other words, he says, from a child all the way up until adulthood, you need to invest your time in knowing who God is. It's the time you're active and vigorous. When you got strength in your youth, it is easier for you to believe, hope, pray, love, obey, bear your cross than it will be in your old age and when decrepitude comes into place. He says, remember the Lord in your youth. Several reasons Solomon gives young people to remember the Lord in the youth. He says, number one, your youth is a delightful period. Days of your youth, your delightful days will not last always. He says, your delightful period will decline in power. He says, evil days refers to the time of disability and infirmities, and your declining power will cause you to experience displeasing period of your life. Days of no pleasure. Days wherein old age hinders your enjoyment of pleasure. Days wherein you won't be able to do what you are able to do now. Every one of us in here can be a witness that as time tick and as days pass on, as weeks and years go by, you are not able to do what you used to do. Oh, it was a time when I was younger, I could just get up out of the bed. Didn't even have to think about it. I could just jump up out of the bed. Now I have to kick to get up, to sit up on the side of the bed. And when I get to the side of the bed, I got to think about getting up and what I'm getting up for. Come on, somebody in here can be a witness. You kicking to get up too. Now, that's the truth of the text. that you're not going to be as young as you are now, and as days and as time go by, you are aging by the second. He says, there's a delightful period that's affected by declining power. And the declining power will lead you from a delightful period to a displeasing period of your life. All of us in transition. And he spells it out in verses 2 through 8. He gives us a picture of what aging is like. Are y'all in here with me? He says you live a joyous life now, but you can anticipate displeasing days. Listen to him. He says power of the mind fades before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. It refers to the fading mental power of an individual as he grows older. The older you get, the harder it is to remember. I mean, you know, when you get a little age on you, you forget simple things. You get up, jump up off the couch, run in the room to get something, and by the time you dart the door, you forget what you went in there for. Looking around, hoping you see it. Why did I come in here? Y'all don't do that, do you? I mean, run out of the house with you, thinking you got your keys, but your keys still on the counter. Lock your own self out of the house. This morning, ran out of the house, thought I had my cell phone with the Bible. Got up the road and looked at the Bible. No cell phone, had to bag up, go back and get the cell phone in case I got some kind of emergency call. I said, my God, where's my mind? The mind fades. The power of the mind fades. The power of reasoning, the power of imagination, the power of memory fades. Your mind will not always be as acute, sharp, sensitive, keen as it is now. As you grow older, your mind will grow dull. We can be a witness to that. We can help these young folks, you know. We didn't have, you know, when we were young, we didn't even have to think about what we were thinking about. Just did it. We did it. And we didn't even have to think about it. But now, you know, you have to, you know, think about what you're thinking about and then think about it some more. And then we have to write it down to make sure we don't forget about what we were thinking about. You heard that old saying, once an adult, twice a child. It is Ray Stedman who said the clouds returning after the rain is a reference to a kind of second childhood which comes on in old age. As a child, one's life revolves around three simple things: eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom. When you get old, that same cycle returns. Eat, sleep. The only thing different is you don't walk to the bathroom, you run. Because the mind is not as acute, sensitive as it used to be. So he says in this process, he says you lose the power of your mind. It fades. But not only does the power of your mind fade, he says the power of your physical body fades. fades. He talks about the arms and hands lose strength. The days when the keepers of the house tremble. Solomon refers to the arm and the hands by which we defend ourselves if we are attacked. The keeper of the house, which are so useful in maintaining the body, which begins to shake and tremble when old age comes on. Hold your hand out and you start shaking. When you were younger, your hand would be still and steady. But now you shake. Shake a hand, you shake. Wipe your face, you shake. Because of the strength of the physical body, it's fading. And it is evident in the fact that your arms and hands lose strength. But he didn't stop there. He says your legs lose strength. He says the strong men are bent. And it's referring to the legs and the strongest part of the body, which starts to shake and tremble in old age. You know, when you get a certain age, you have to be careful where you place your feet. You know, you need some assistance, some help. You're coming down some steps, you grow for the rail. Now, don't be too proud. You know, where you don't want folks to know your age, reach for the rail. Because you carefully place your foot on the step, your feet on the step, to make sure you don't topple and fall. Because you are not sure of your steps. It's because your legs have lost strength. Walking on flat ground, you look down more than you look up. Because of the loss of strength in your legs. He didn't stop there. He says, not only have you lost strength in your arms and your hands and your legs, he says, but you have lost sleep. Your sleep is not as sound as it used to be. You slumber rather than sleep. He says, when the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of the song are brought low, they are afraid. Also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. In other words, it's not the loud sounding things or the loud sounds that get you now. He says you are so light in your sleep that small, low sounds will awaken you. My daughter, she's here with us today. She got a dog. And her dog is in the garage beneath our bedroom. And when the dog has to use the restroom or go outside to, you know, do what it needs to do, it makes a whimpering noise. And, you know, I got a little age on me now. I'm not as old as some of you now, but I'm kind of in between. And I hear the whimpering of the dog. And I said, my God, how can she sleep through this? I know if I hear the dog, she ought to hear the dog. So the dog's barking, the dog is whimpering. So I gets up, and instead of me going downstairs to go into the garage to take the dog out, I go and wake her up. And I'm beating and knocking, beating and bamming. And she's in there so sound asleep that she can't hear me beating and bamming. And when she finally comes to the door, I said, do you not hear the dog? And then what took you so long to get up and answer the door when I'm bamming on the door? She says, Daddy, I was asleep. I said, my God, if I could just get me a dose of that medicine to put me to sleep like that when trouble is around and when noise is being made and you still sleep. But now I've gotten to an age where any little thing will get me up at night. Somebody can be a witness. It doesn't take much to wake you up now. Dog barking, I'm barking, she still asleep. But he says when you get to a certain age, you sleep light. And low sounds and low noises wake you up. He says, but not only do you lose sleep, he says, but you lose teeth. He says, the grinders cease because they are few. I started out with a mouthful too. But I got to go and make a few more dentist appointments. And I don't want to hear nothing about, well, I need to take it out. I'm trying to get it fixed. He says you're aging. And when you age, you lose teeth. He says not only that, but your eyes grow dim. Those that look through the windows are dimmed. Your eyes grow dim. It's the fading of eyesight. As old age approaches. But not only do you lose teeth and your eyes grow dim. He says your ears grow deaf. You can't hardly hear. Like you used to. The windpipe or the ears will be deaf and not able to hear singing. And he says, on top of that, there's a visible indication of decrepitude. It's your hair. Now, if you didn't have the color in it, it'll tell off on you. He says your hair, and he deals with it, the almond tree blossoms. And when the almond tree blossoms, it blossoms with white buds. He says when you age, your hair begins to white. Now, so many in denial. I'm waiting on y'all to catch up with me. And you're doing the best you can to maintain it black. I'm talking about raven feathers black. But you know, some way, somehow, you know, that dye you use will miss a few strands. But there's an indication. He says you are growing older. And you're not able to do what you used to do. Listen, at the former church, I had a member. I went out to see him. He was in his 90s. And I said to him, I says, man, you're blessed to have lived this long. He says, you don't know how I feel. That's all right. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, I can't hardly hear. I can't hardly see. I can't hardly walk. I can't hardly eat. They have taken my keys from me. I've lost my independence. Yeah. You don't know how I feel. And when he said that, I thought about what Solomon is saying here. He says there's coming a time in your life, if you live long enough, where you will have no pleasure in your days. He says, but don't wait until you get to that point to remember God, to acknowledge God. He says, acknowledge God and remember God while you are active and vigorous. Listen, I'm so glad, I'm so glad God called me to preach when I was young, because, you know, it afforded me study. I was studying then, and I was able to stay up all night studying and reading the Bible all night, because I wanted it, and I want it now, but I'm not able. You know, I get the Bible, and I start out good. Whether I'm in the bed or at the kitchen counter or in the office or wherever I am. But somewhere along the line, the Bible becomes a pillar. Oh, how I pray, Lord, give me strength to stay up and get this in me. And I want it now. And I'm so thankful that I sought him and I acknowledged him and served him and studied when I was younger, because I have to rely on it now. And so, you know, the Bible doesn't change. What it meant then, it means now. And so as I was studying then, I can rely a great deal on what I studied then, because I had ability then. But I don't have that ability now. So he says, remember the Lord while you are active and vigorous, because it's going to fade. He says, in the day of your youth. But notice, and I'm finished when I get to this point, he says, not only remember the Lord, but he says, reverence the Lord. Don't put it all in your head where you have nothing in your heart. He says, remember, but remembering the Lord should cause you to revere the Lord. He says in verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Let me say that again. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter, what your life is about, what God has created you for, what God has allowed you to remain for, what God has put you in your position and in your place for. Here he says, it's for you to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Not all of that side stuff you got that you put first before God. Not all of the things that you're caught up in outside of your Christendom and your Christian relationship and fellowship with God. He says, no, it's about fearing God and keeping his commandment. See, knowing that God is God and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, you don't have to wait until you can't do some of the things you consider fun now before you seek God. No, you can seek God now. Because believe you me, you're going to need God. You're going to run into some stuff. You're going to run into some people. You're going to run into some circumstances and situations that if you don't have God, you're not going to make it through it. He says, in the days of your youth. That's why I'm so thankful that this church has a youth department and people who's investing in the young people, because they won't always be young. They're going to be challenged. Challenged to live against all that being invested in them. All that's being instilled. Listen, that college life is a different world. And when they enter into that college, you wave them bye-bye and say to them, I'll see you later. But a lot of times the person you drop off will not be the person you meet again. Because the life has a way of challenging what you have invested in them. And if they don't know God, it's going to tell. If they don't know God, it's going to be evident. He says, remember the Lord. He says, revere the Lord. Keep his commandment. Boy, how I wish. You know, when you look back, I'm like Solomon. When you look back over your life and you see how much wasted time. You know, when you look back over your life and you look at all of those opportunities that you didn't take advantage of. You know, you landed pretty good. You did pretty good. You're doing pretty good in life. But if you would be honest, there were some opportunities that you should have taken advantage of. And if God would have been properly placed in your life, you would have taken advantage of those things because you wouldn't have been distracted by what everybody else is doing. He says, reverence God. Keep his commandments. What does reverence look like? It looks like obedience. Read the Bible now and apply the word of God to your life, because that's what Solomon is saying. He says you need it now, because as things begin to change, the only thing that's going to sustain you is the word of God. The only thing that's going to keep you is the word of God. Solomon now, he's not the chief example. Jesus is. All that Solomon talked about. Solomon strayed in his life, but Jesus never strayed. Jesus knew how to keep the course. He knew how to live a godly life. He grew up in a godly home, and he was exposed to the truth of Scripture. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 2, verse 4, it says the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In verse 52 of Luke chapter 2, it says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. He never turned his back on God. He pressed his way. He did what he needed to do, even as a child and as an adult. He did what pleased God. And that's what I want to say to you. Do what pleased God. You don't have to stray. You don't have to fall away. You don't have to live a life of worldliness, a life of improprieties and infidelity to God. You can reverence God in your life now. I'm finished when I tell you this. Verse 14 tells us why. He says, God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, things your parents may not know.
That's right.
You know how they have us fooled now. That they're good and they're not doing all of this stuff that other people are doing, but you know, sometimes, you know, they are just as guilty of doing it as anyone else. He says, every deed, every secret thing, whether good or evil, will be brought into judgment. And let me tell you, you can't hide from God. You can't fool God. He is evident in all our life. He is present. He knows all things, every word of our mouth. He knows every motive that we have. He knows and he sees our duplicity, the deception and the lovelessness of our hearts. He has made provision for us. And this is where we shout. He knows all there is to know. And he has made provision. You know who he is. His name is Jesus. Aren't you glad God knows all there is to know about you? But yet there is provision. There's provision for your past, present, and future sins. Nothing can be hid from God. But yet God has made provision. The provision is his son. Listen. Remember him. Reverence him. He says that's the whole purpose of your being. You were not created for you just to do you. You know, you hear him say all the time, I'm going to do me. No, that's not the purpose for your life. The purpose for your life is for you to do what's pleasing to God. Everyone to your feet if you will. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your vein. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem Baptist Church on your heart, in your spirit, come. Thirdly, if you're backslidden and you need to be restored in fellowship, come. Come. He will do that. While you're standing, I want all of our young people, all of our youth, come on to the altar. Come on to the altar. Years a long time. That's how much. That's how much I'm. Forever. Spread out if spread out if you can. Come on if you will. Come on young people. Come on, come on. Y'all look this way if you will. Look this way if you will. This is your day. This is your time. This is your moment. You're strong. You're spruce and spry. But you're not going to always be. That's why it's so important for you to spend the proper time in knowing God. Solomon says that there are days coming where you will find no pleasure in them. It's the decision time when you have to make decisions. When mom and daddy are not there. When school counselors are not there. When everybody who has given you guidance is no longer standing over you. And it's just you, God, and that decision that you have to make. You're going to need to know God. Because it's so easy to assume God's will. You know, what feels good seems like That ought to be the way to go. But you can't base this on feeling. You got to have faith. Faith. And faith requires an element of knowledge. You have to know the word of God. He says, remember God. Remember the Creator. In the days of your youth. If you have not already, please start today. Investing the time, the energy, in getting to know who God is. And he says, if you draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto you. He's as close to you as you want him. Did you hear that? Spend that time. Remember him. And when you get in the word of God and know, come to know who he is, then you will revere him. The reason a lot of young people and aged people alike don't revere God is because they don't know him. See, God, when he reveals himself to you, there are things he won't allow you to do. You can't do as everybody else is doing. Now, he has called you to be a peculiar people, holy, set apart, consecrated for his use. That's what he wants you to do. And that's how you revere God. When you put the word of God in place in your life and you begin to live the word out, God is pleased. You're honoring him. You are exalting him and adoring him. Listen, I want you to do well. I want you to do well as a young people. You can help us help you. You said, how? You have the ears of your peers. And I want you to pray for courage as you study the word of God. God will give you courage to speak his word. That as they are speaking the ways of the world, you will speak the word of God. That's what I'm praying, that you will help other young people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my God. That's what I want you to do. And I want you to pray that he give you courage to speak. You're going through a lot at school. And I'm talking about grade school now. Children are being raped in the bathrooms. Fights. Drugs. Same sex. And all that's going on. You know what it is. Because you see it on a day-to-day basis. But listen, God has called you to be light in the midst of darkness, that you don't fall into what they're doing. No, you stand up for God and say, for God I live and for God I die. That if everybody else has gone astray, you will keep the path of God. And you will have courage to speak his truth. Father, we thank you for these young people. Lord, the beauty of their spirits. Lord, the beauty of what you're doing in their life. Lord, how you have polished them as a reflector to reflect your light. They're not in and of themselves light, but Lord, they receive light from you to reflect it in the world. Stand them up. Give them strong legs, strong hands and arms in their youth. Lord, to represent you. I pray that their days be not wasted in chasing after things that will not satisfy or will not fulfill their life and living. But Lord, they will spend the time, the proper time, with you in study, in prayer. And you will, Father, get in them and work a work on the inside that cannot be denied on the outside. Do it in Jesus' name. Have your way in them and through them for your glory and their good. And I pray, Father, that they have courage and boldness and know that no weapon formed against them is able to prosper. For you have made them the head and not the tail, the lender and not the borrower. In Jesus' name, I thank you for them. And I pray that this word, Lord, will fall on good ground and will yield unto you a bountiful harvest. In Jesus' name. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forever. In every heart say amen. Amen. Go in peace, babies. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord for our young people.